Hello and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined today by my colleagues from our contentious probate team, partner Emma Saunders and associate Jonathan Grogan. And our podcast today is another in our series of contentious probate related podcast series. It will last approximately 10 to 15 minutes and Emma and Jonathan are going to discuss caveats and blocking of a grant of probate. So without any further ado, Emma's going to start. Good morning, Emma, and over to you.
Okay, thank you very much, David. So we are often approached by clients who are concerned about the validity of a relative's will. It may be they suspect that the will doesn't reflect what their deceased relative wanted to happen with their estate. It could be that a person was suffering from dementia or was potentially pressurised into making a will in certain terms. There's lots of issues that can arise in will making. Today's podcast isn't about those types of claim. We're actually going to focus on the legal procedures that are available to prevent the executors of a disputed will obtaining a grant of probate. However, we do have other podcasts covering a wide range of different contentious probate claims on our website, which you can listen to if you wish.
Thanks, Emma. I was just thinking that maybe we should just pause first and think about the fact that for some estates, they might actually not need a grant of probate, because today we're talking about preventing a grant of probate being obtained. For those that don't know, a grant of probate, it's a bit like a seal of approval from the probate registry that confirms the authority on the executors of a will to administer the estate in accordance with that will. And a grant of probate, it will always be needed if the estate contains property, that's real estate, and probably if there are shares or life policies and other types of certain other assets, you'll need a grant of probate. Cash in the bank, well, each bank and building society, they have their own policies in terms of a threshold, the amount in any account for which they will require a grant of probate. Actually, during COVID, many of those thresholds were relaxed to make estates easier to administer. And it's not surprising to find that banks are prepared to release quite a lot of cash, you know, several tens of thousands of pounds to executors without actually a grant of probate, particularly if a firm of solicitors is instructed to administer the estate by the executors.
Yes, Jonathan, that's a really good point. Thank you. So in some will disputes, the procedure we are going to discuss will be of less relevance because due to the costs involved in contentious probate claims, it's usually the higher value estates that are involved in these types of claims. And so generally, there would be a need for a grant of probate. So if you're concerned about the validity of a will, the most obvious thing to do, the first step in order to protect your position, is to lodge something called a caveat. Now, a caveat is essentially something that's filed at the probate registry and prevents a grant of probate being obtained. The reason this is important is because if you want to demonstrate that a will is not a valid document, then you really don't want anyone to obtain probate of that will. Now, the caveat procedure itself is relatively simple. There's a very small cost of just £3 to enter the caveat. Now, this can be done online and it's very easy to do. You just need the details of the deceased, including the date of their death and their address. Now, the caveat lasts for a period of 6 months initially, but it can also be renewed. There's no need when you apply for the caveat to give any particular grounds for the reason you're entering it. And so you don't really need to know what your case is about in any detail if you just simply have suspicions. One thing I would highlight, though, is that if you are located abroad, and we do sometimes have clients located outside of England and Wales, that they do need to have a local address or use a solicitor based in England and Wales in order to have a service address for the caveat. So that's important to bear in mind if you are currently living abroad.
Yeah, it's a very useful procedure, one that we use often. Just from some recent experience, we had a case where somebody had lodged a caveat, but they had got the date of death, the wrong date of death for the deceased when they entered the caveat, and that actually meant that the grant of probate when it was applied for did go through. So you've got to be careful, you've got all the details right, there's no mismatch of information. As well as protecting the position, it also then allows a useful breathing space to allow us, if we're instructed, to get on and really investigate what the grounds of the potential claim are, and that may mean that we will be obtaining the deceased's medical records, speaking to witnesses, liaising with solicitors, solicitors that may have been involved in drafting the will, asking them about the circumstances in which it was prepared. So that's when we are acting for people who want to dispute the validity of a will and have lodged a caveat. But we also act for clients who are on the receiving ends of caveats. They've applied for a grant of probate maybe, and they've discovered that there is a caveat, and they feel that the caveat's unjustified, and they feel that someone's really just trying things on and frustrating the due administration of the estate. So if that's the case, and the caveat is really just an obstacle that is frustrating things, is there anything that people in that position can do, Emma?
Yeah, well, firstly, you definitely should try and engage with the people or person who's lodged the caveat to try and find out what their concerns are. I think sometimes we simply find there's been a misunderstanding about what the intentions are for the deceased's estate. And actually, when this is explained to the person who's filed the caveat, they're quite happy to simply withdraw it voluntarily, which is obviously the best solution if you're wanting to progress with the administration of the estate. So really, it is best to try and find out what the issues are. There's also a pre-action protocol as part of the court's rules, which sets out that people who do want to pursue a claim should do so in terms of setting out that claim in writing before they issue any formal legal proceedings. So really, the person who's filed the caveat is the person with that claim, and they should really be setting out for you and your client what those problems are that they see.
Yeah, and I suppose in many of our cases, we will be engaging with the people that have lodged the caveat or their solicitors. We'll know about the caveat's existence, and we'll be entering into that sort of correspondence that you've talked about. We'll have an idea of the grounds of any disputes. But I suppose there are still those cases where we still think the claim is groundless and really going nowhere, but we've got the problem of a caveat for the executors who are trying to administer the estate. What is the best course of action then for them?
Yes, if you do have someone who refuses to remove the caveat voluntarily, then you can serve a warning on them. Now, a warning is a legal document, again, a formality that needs to be dealt with. You have to fill in the document, which is very straightforward. It's less than a page. However, this does need to be sent to the Leeds District Probate Registry for sealing. Now, sealing simply means to put the court seal or stamp on that to show that it's been officially registered. Now, the sealed warning then has to be served, which can be done by first class post, on the person who's filed the caveat. Now, they've got 14 days to respond to that. And if they don't respond within those 14 days, and you can prove to the probate registry that you did serve this warning on a certain date, and you may want to file a witness statement to demonstrate that you've done this properly, then the probate registry should lift the caveat.
Yeah, we've recently had some success in using warnings effectively to help unblock the process and allow clients to get on and obtain their grants of probate. We also are on the receiving ends of warnings sometimes, and we think that to the person who has served the warning, they're sort of trying to jump the gun, and we are still trying to investigate the claim. We haven't gone away and we still think we have a valid claim, so we don't want the grant of probate issuing. So if we receive a warning in those circumstances, we don't want the caveat to be removed. What should be done then?
Well, yeah, so this is when things sort of start hotting up a bit, really. So if someone wants to respond to a sealed warning, they have to do what's called entering an appearance at the probate registry. Now, this isn't quite as it sounds, because you don't have to enter a physical appearance in any way. You simply just need to file again a formal document which says something briefly about the grounds on which you're opposing the grant of probate being obtained. So, for example, it could be that you have concerns about testamentary capacity. So this is a little bit more technical now, so we'd need to advise clients carefully before taking that step. This is because once the appearance has been entered, the caveat becomes permanent. So, in other words, it can't be simply removed unless all of the relevant parties consent to that, so they agree to it, or perhaps because of the result of a court order. But that would normally be an order that's at the end of a contested will case.
Yeah, I suppose the other point to mention is that up until this stage, with caveats and warnings, we normally say to clients that although they're responsible for our costs, their own legal costs, in the caveat and warning procedures, they don't really have to worry about being responsible for anybody else's costs in the dispute. But once the appearance has been entered and the caveat becomes permanent, we tend to say it's more likely the resolution of the ultimate dispute, even if that means that the claim isn't going to be pursued. It might involve some kind of arrangement, either by agreement or potentially by way of a court order, that says who is going to be responsible for paying the costs. So you do have to be a bit careful about exposing yourself to other people's legal costs at this stage?
Yes, that is a really important point, Jonathan. I think it's something that can be overlooked by some parties when they do get involved in the early stages of a will dispute, and it really is something to think about carefully. I mean, there's certainly a lot more that we can say about caveats and warnings and appearances, as well as what happens if there is an ongoing claim about the validity of a will and the estate still needs to be administered in the meantime, but they're probably the subject of a separate podcast. We often have to consider this type of issue, and each case is very different, so the advice that we would give to one client could be very different to what we would give to another client. But hopefully this has been a useful summary regarding some of the tools that are available to prevent a grant of probate being obtained, and a useful outline of the caveats, warning and entering an appearance procedure. So we'll leave that there for today, but I'm just going to hand you back to David.
Thanks, Emma. Appreciate that. Enjoyed listening to that one. Just very quickly for me, we continue to work hard to produce and release articles, podcasts, blogs, webinars, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes all episodes of our contentious probate related podcasts. We usually say at this point, if you'd like to discuss anything Emma and Jonathan have raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with them. They both can be contacted via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email for Emma, emma.saunders@sintons.co.uk, and for Jonathan, jonathan.grogan@sintons.co.uk. And should you wish, you can also follow the team on Twitter @sintonspc. That's all from us today. Thank you very much for listening. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak to you next time. Thank you.